We have nursery available. We have JAM, which is ages 3 to 5. And we have big kids, which is grades 1 through 6. And if you haven't registered your child, you can do that right now with Miss Sam or Cassandra in the first foyer. Before we take offering, I just felt something to share something with you today. It was from one of my devotions that the title alone just made me sit and look at the title when I was reading. And the title was called, You Are Not Alone. You are not alone. In 1 Peter 5:8 through 9, it says, stay alert. Watch out for your enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering you are. You see, the enemy loves to isolate. He loves to make us think that we're alone, that no one understands, that no one will understand what we're going through, that no one else is going through the same thing that we're going through, and it's not even worth talking about because no one gets it. I'm all alone. Because that's what the enemy does. But when we're isolated, we lose the connection that we were made for. The Bible says it is not good for man to be alone. It's not healthy for us to be alone. Connection is what we need. Connection is what we were created for. That's why we stress so much the connect groups that we have, because we know that it creates community among believers. And so that when one of us is going through something, we're surrounded by people that love us, that want to lift us up, that can lift us up in prayer and help us through whatever it is that we're going through. And so I thought about this. It's been on my heart all week, really. And so two thoughts today from that standpoint of that we're not alone is the first thing is let others around you know that. Let them know that they're not alone. Show kindness to them. I love the message series that pastor has been speaking about, showing kindness to other people, because we never know what they're going through, right? So just to be kind, show God's love to them. Let them know that they're not alone. I teach dance, and in one of my classes this week, in between classes, I have to change over playlists, you know, because I teach hip-hop to ballet to tap, and so I'm changing my playlist, and this little girl, she's 7 years old, and she comes up to me. And it was totally unexpected. And she says, Miss Erin, am I the only girl with brown skin in my class? And I look around and I was like, yeah, you are. Her little head, am I the only girl with brown skin in all of my classes? And I'm thinking, because she takes quite a few classes from us, and I'm thinking of all of her classes. And I was like, yeah, you are. I go, but you're not the only girl with brown skin in the studio. And then I took her little face, because she's 7, and I said, look at me, like I do to my kids. I said, look at me. You have beautiful skin. And she put her shoulders back, and she put a huge smile on her face, and she skipped back to her spot. It was the best she's ever danced for me in that classroom. And I thought, all she needed to know was that she wasn't alone. She needed to feel that love. She needed to be shown kindness to, and she needed to know that she wasn't alone. And I thought about that. How many times do we go through life and we just need to know that we're not alone? You know, let somebody know that they're not alone. And then the second thing is, God's not a God that's going to leave you hanging. God's not a God that's just going to drop you one day. He's never going to leave you or forsake you. His very name, Emmanuel, means God with us. That means he's never going to leave you alone. Even when we go through lonely times and we feel that way, he's never going to leave your side. He wants us to walk with him. He wants us to be with him, and he's never going to leave you alone. So just know today that you are not alone. There's people that want to surround you. There's people that want to connect with you, and you're not alone because God is always going to be with you. Amen. Amen. So let's give today. You know how to give. That's up on the screen. You can download PushPay, text, envelope. You can give at any time throughout the week. Proverbs 3:6 says, acknowledge the Lord in everything. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. So let's acknowledge him in our finances, in our families, in our jobs, in everything. And then he directs your path. You can tithe, which is 10% of what comes in, or your offering is anything that goes above and beyond that. So stay faithful in that area, Pastor Ryan.
Give her a hand, would you? That's a good word. I was sitting there, I'm not alone. Lean on me when you're not strong. I always think of that song. And I'll be your friend. And I'll help you carry on, you bunch of sinners. For it won't be long till I'm gonna need somebody to lean on. Would you? All the religious people, you should see their faces. I just might have a problem that you'd understand. We all need somebody to lean on. Lean on me when you're not strong, and I'll be your friend. I'll help you carry on. I'm just speaking life into someone right now. It won't be long till I'm gonna need somebody to lean on.
Y'all good singers. I'm just sitting here contemplating when is a good moment to do what I'm going to do. And I think right in the heels of that, young Tommy Bartz lost his daughter this week. And I just want some people to go lean on him right now. Will you do that? He's right over here. Tommy, stand up. Just some men, just go over and put your arm around him, hug on him. Love on him. You never know when you're going to need somebody. That's what the church is about. That's why we stress this, the importance of this. Because in the middle of this, in these moments, not only in the, while we're together, but when we leave, that we stay connected, that we stay affirming, and that we stay loving with one another. Amen. I can't sing that song as well as Ryan, and maybe some of you don't think it's spiritual enough, but I think the message of it fits right now really good. Sing it, Ryan.
Would you just call on me, brother, when you need a hand? We all need somebody to lean on. You just might have a problem that you understand. We all need somebody to lean on.
Don't we need others? Don't we need people in our lives? Come on.
You are my champion. Giants fall when you stand undefeated. With the one who has conquered it all. Thank you, Lord. We serve a champion. Would you say amen? Amen. Give the Lord one more praise, would you? Well, it's good to be in the Lord's house, and I want you to know that God still speaks, and that he still moves, and that he still ministers, and he brings hope to the brokenhearted this morning. And you feel it in this place. I want to read something to you in Isaiah 46. It says these words, I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say, my purpose will stand, and I'll do all that I please. I want to read it one more time because it's a lot to take in. Just one simple verse. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient days, or I'll say it this way, from a long time ago, what is still to come. I say my purpose will stand, and I'll do all that I please. Yesterday, I was in the car with a mentor of mine. I have a few mentors. My dad's one of them. How many of you know you can learn some things from cotton heads? Amen. They got some wisdom. And I was in the car with one of my mentors yesterday. Yeah, you got a little cotton in there, Dad. Sorry. I was in the car with one of my mentors yesterday, and something happened that I had to share with you this morning. And I want you to know, if you don't have a mentor, if you don't have somebody who's speaking into your life, and by the way, I have mentors that are younger than me, by the way. If you don't have someone who's speaking into your life, you're missing out so much. You're missing something that God has sent. And it doesn't take long to search them out. If you ask the Lord, He'll lay them on your heart, who those people should be. And sometimes you got to chase them down. Amen. You got to grab them by the ankles and yank. And I did that this week. And one of my mentors pulled in my driveway on Saturday morning at 7:15 a.m. I walked out the door. I got in the car with him. And we started down Route 33 with nowhere to go, with no agenda. And we just begin to talk. And man, it was just a moment for me, and I want to tell you about it. I live on Route 33 in a fifth-generation farm, but when I was a kid, I grew up on Griswold Road. How many of you know where Griswold Road is? Where Griswold Road comes off of 33, if you're going east, are you with me right now? There is a farm, an old farm there, and it's where I grew up when I was a child. And we begin, my mentor and I begin to head down the road. And this story is just so cool the way God is. It's just so, it's the evidence of His goodness. Amen. He just says, don't forget how good I am. And we're heading down the road and He begins to speak to me. And He says these words. He said, Ryan, there was two words that were spoken to me on the way to your house this morning. And he lives in Henrietta. He said, you see that road right there? Now, we're going up 33. He says, you see that road right there? And he points as we're driving by the house that I grew up in. He has no clue where I grew up. He's someone who came into my life in the last, I don't know, couple years. He pointed to the house that I grew up in. And he said, I want you to know right there. And he pointed at the house. But he was talking in the context of the road. And he'll bear witness to this when he comes soon. He pointed to that house and he says, the Lord told me right there on that road that I want you to know that He knows your beginning from your end. I grew up there when I was a kid. And I began to cry. He said, why does that make you sad? I said, it doesn't make me sad, but Bishop, you see right over there, that's where I grew up when I was a kid. And he began to cry. And he said, man, and the second thing the Lord spoke to me is that His hand is on your life and that He's going to use you in a wonderful way. I'll tell you what, when you get together with people that God speaks to and through, your life will never be the same. You come to a service like this and God begins to speak and God begins to move and God begins to minister. I don't care who you are. I don't care how tough you are. I don't care how hard you are. When the word of the Lord comes into your ears, you'll never, ever, ever be the same. And yesterday, he points over to that house and God began to speak to me and he brought this scripture to my memory, and he gave me three simple things to share with you this morning. Will you receive them? The first thing, the scripture says that He knows the end from the beginning, and that all things, I want to say that again, all things are under His authority. All things are under His authority. Share with you another testimony. And if you can't tell this morning, I'm a little excited. I'm just a little excited about what the Lord's been doing in my life. I haven't felt well, and really during when I had COVID, I was very sick and came out of that, and I've been visiting my doctor, and I kept having this conversation with my doctor over and over again, and basically he said there's nothing wrong, I'm sorry, it's just some residual from the COVID. And I left, and through some circumstances, I got a new doctor. Amen. Sometimes you need another opinion. Amen. And I went to this doctor, and I begin to have this dialogue with her new doctor. You know, they send you through the gamut. All the men in the place love it, right? You love the gamut. And I couldn't stand what she was putting me through. And the last time I went, I said, Doc, I want you to know I'm not feeling well. I just don't feel myself. I've never felt this foggy. And she said, I'm gonna do a deep dive blood test, and I want you to know that it's going to be a lot of blood. I went and got the blood test done. They took 9 vials from me. Amen. Yeah. And to make a long story short, now, I want you to say this. He knows the end from the beginning. Make a long story short, I had an endoscopy done. They went down into my stomach with a tube and looked at my stomach, my intestines, and so on. And I'm sharing this because I want you to know that if when you give your issues to the Lord, he begins to, he'll use people that we, sometimes we just want a miracle, but sometimes the miracle is a little bit of a journey, right? He knows the end from the beginning. Come to find out, I have a severe case of celiac disease, which I never knew. And what that means is that I'm allergic to wheat. So that's a week ago. The endoscopy confirmed it in my intestines. It's a long story on how they can tell from your intestines. But 7 days, I haven't eaten one drop of wheat. And I got to tell you, I got more energy than I had when I was 15. And I told Sam last night, I'm going to drive you crazy. Amen. And yeah, give the Lord a praise. And I want you to know, and I want to sow faith into your heart and into your spirit and into your body and into your mind this morning, that God knows the end from the beginning, and he's working out all the details. He'll give you, the Bible says he'll give you beauty for your ashes, and he'll give you a garment of praise. I'll tell you, I'd like to praise all over this platform right now for a spirit of heaviness. He knows the end from the beginning. Just lift your hand if you receive that. My second thought, he is consistently revealing his will. Can we see with eyes of the Spirit, or are we living with just our natural eyes? Can I tell you this morning something very unpopular? That if you are being attacked, you could possibly be in the perfect will of God for your life. You say, Ryan, how could that be true? I want you to remember this statement. Maybe you write it down because I believe it's for someone this morning. Opportunity wears a suit. It wears a suit. Opportunity wears a suit. You know what it's called? Adversity. I want to say that one more time, and I just drop it. Opportunity wears a suit. It's called this word, adversity. How many of you want opportunity? Just lift your hand. How many of you want adversity? Lift your hand. Yeah. The hands went like this. My second thought, he's constantly revealing his will. And my third thought, and I'm done. The word of the Lord that I just read, you said these very pointed words, and I love them. It says, I will do all that I please. I think sometimes when we read things like that, we think that he's meaning that we'll do what we please. I don't know if there's any more control freaks in here. No? It's not what you please, it's what God pleases. And to the person that surrenders to Christ fully, he will accomplish what he pleases through you. I want to say that again. The scripture that I just read to you, my third point, and I'm finished. He says, I will do all that I please. And to the person that fully surrenders to Jesus Christ, he will accomplish not what you please, he will accomplish what he pleases. Someone said to me not too long ago, they said, well, the Bible says he'll give me the desire of my heart. You ready for this? Here's what happens when you pray that prayer. Your desires become his desires. If you're not receiving what you've been asking for, instead of praying, God, can I have a new suit jacket? Say this prayer. God, can you make my desires your desires? Because I'll tell you something. When your desires are his desires, there is a peace that rests on you like you've never felt before. How many of you want your desires to be his? Lift your hand in the house of the Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, in this place, in this your people, in these families, God, we thank you. We know that your will and your desires, God, that we love one another, that we love you. And Father, our prayer this morning is that our desires would be completely aligned with your will. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, would you say amen?
God's house, there we are. And to be a part of his family. Excited, a lot of great things happening. This Thanksgiving is coming up faster than we can even believe. And I want to say thank you to so many that have already given to that. We've got a little video just to inspire you on that, guys. If you can just run that video real quick.
Hey, Ryan here from City Church in St. Anthony's in Batavia, New York. We're standing in 114 Liberty Street, Batavia, the St. Anthony's campus, and we're so excited to let you know about our annual Thanksgiving dinner coming up in just about 2 weeks. Listen, if you haven't signed up yet and you need a Thanksgiving dinner, we want to be the hands and feet of Christ, and we want to offer you a Thanksgiving dinner. Listen, we also need your financial support. We can't make this happen without your help, without the community's help. There's a link provided on this video that we want you to be a part of. Also, these are the leaders of this dinner. Send them some love. We're so appreciative. Bruce, Sam, Bill, and Robin, we're so appreciative for them. God bless you. Become a part of our Thanksgiving dinner.
Awesome. Aren't you glad to be a part of a church that does this? And I think the number is closing on 700 already. So if you know of anybody that is in need of that meal that day, the sooner that we know, the better. Because at 800, it's not a heartless decision. It's all that we can do. That will be it. I want also today, I want to take just a minute. Thursday was Veterans Day, and I got to share on Veterans Day. We honor our veterans. I want all the veterans in the house to stand up this morning. Would you do that? Come on, stand up, girl. I'll come out there with you. Stand up. We have a gift, a card for you. You'll stay standing just a minute. Come on, let's give them a big God bless you. Thank you. Just stay standing, veterans. We want to make sure you get that card. Thank you all. Thank you all so very much. We love you. We honor you. This Thursday night, our Thursday nights are always amazing. This Thursday, I have a friend coming from Highland, Michigan, Pastor Tim Forsoth. Met Pastor Tim through Pastor Chris Ball, the president of Elam Fellowship, and Pastor Ron Bergio. And I just want to ask if this Thursday, you'll just do your very best to be here. We're just expecting an incredible night together, and your presence here would help that in such a wonderful way. At the end of service today, we'll partake of communion together, and I believe God will continue to do a great thing. And I think there is a scripture somewhere in the Bible that says that if you go to church on the Sunday that your football team is playing, that they'll be sure to win. So all of those that are at home this morning, sorry. I'm just kidding with you. That's all. Lord, thank you so much for the house of God. Thank you for your people. Lord, let these next few minutes inspire, help each and every one of us, I pray, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Last Sunday, I got more responses from the message that I shared on kindness than I've gotten from anything in a long time. And I really felt like the Lord wanted me just to spend just a little more time on that today and just share some thoughts with you on that, how powerful that this concept, this virtue in our lives can be. And I just want to say this, that acting nasty and harsh to people, some people think that's spiritual. That's not spiritual, that's hurtful, it's unkind, and it's ungodly. And I've been with people that have been that way and have acted that way. I remember this individual, he was one of the greatest preachers. He preached, and I'm telling you, I was spellbound by that. And I lived in Seattle, Washington at the time, and the gentleman that I was working with, he said, I want to go meet this man with you. And so we took a flight all the way across the country to New York City, and I'll never forget, we had lunch with him, and then he said, I got to stop at the house, come on in. And he went in there, and his wife was sitting at the table. She never lifted up her head. He never said hello. She never said hello to him. She never said hello to us. And I stood there, and I thought, wow, this is really strange, only to find out that this individual was one way here and another way here. And can I just encourage you this morning that kindness doesn't just show up once in a while. It's, you are kind. It's not something that you just think, well, I'm going to be kind today and be miserable tomorrow. You have to put on this attitude and go with it at all times, even when it's inconvenient, even when you're not ready for it. Excuse me, I'm just working through a little thing in my chest. So I'm so mindful of that. Kindness is being generous and considerate without expecting anything in return. And the Greek word for kindness is keratos, and it means to be pleasant. It's the opposite of harsh or bitter or being sharp. In fact, the Bible says in Romans chapter 2 and verse 4 in the King James Version that it's the kindness of God that leads sinners to repentance. And it's amazing that when we look at the impact that kindness can have in our world around us, but when we are kind, it has a greater impact on us in particular. Proverbs 11:17 says, a man who is kind benefits himself. I want you to look at that, every one of you. A man who is kind benefits himself, but a cruel man hurts himself. Doesn't say about how you treat or act towards anyone else, but it has all the onus on you and I. To be kind is to be kind to yourself. And I read this quote, and I think it's incredible. Hurt people hurt people. That's how pain patterns get passed on. Generation after generation after generation. Break the chain today. Meet anger with sympathy, contempt with compassion, cruelty with kindness. Greet grimace with smiles. Forgive and forget about finding fault. Love is the weapon of the future. Isn't that so good? Because while some are waiting for somebody to be kind to them, God is calling you and I to be kind to others, because when that happens, then we experience and live in this dimension of kindness. One writer, I love this, that he said that we are all experiencing an ice age of the heart where people are often chilly and indifferent to each other. The reliance on technology such as cell phones, email, to keep in touch with others instead of face-to-face encounters is a sign of global cooling. What a statement that is. And I have to confess that I've not always, when given the opportunity to show kindness, I've not always done so. But I'm learning. And Mark Twain said it this way. He says, kindness is a language which the deaf can hear and the blind can see. I failed on that a little bit this week. I was going to get my car washed out on West Main, and I'm at a stoplight up on across from Tops, and I hear these horns blowing, and I'm looking around, and all of a sudden, I'm on the inside lane, another car next to me, and a car drives right between us, hits my car, hits the other car, goes through the red light, cars swerving, people blowing their horns, yelling, and this car is going right. You know, I'm thinking, I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, I feel like I'm in a movie right now. The car is heading westbound and the cars are coming eastbound. They're going around them. They're blowing the horn. And by that time, I'm following because I want to know, who hit me? Who ran it? What is the, this guy's on drugs. He's been drinking. He's whatever. He robbed the bank. And I'm pulling up there and all of a sudden, a big pickup with a dump trailer couldn't get out of the way, and he smashes right into him. I pull up, and I get out of my car. I said, this is it. And I'm walking up there only to find an elderly man slumped over in his seat, completely unconscious. You want to talk about God putting his finger on my shoulder? Oh, you're going to preach about kindness, eh? God help every one of us. Because in a preconceived world where everybody knows what everybody else should think and act like, God puts the responsibility back in our lap to be kind to humanity, no matter what's happening around you. And I tell you, I walked back and, we had to break the window. I'm telling you, I felt like I was in a movie, breaking the window, reaching in, the guy's, his foot is on the accelerator. The car's still trying to push in this, and we get it turned off. And the poor man is—he's completely unconscious. Talked to him yesterday. He had a diabetic attack where he completely passed out. He said, "I'm home." He said, "I'm sorry, I ran into you." And he said, "I don't remember anything." And I thought right then and there, and I talked to him just a moment about the Lord. He said, "Oh, I love God." He said, "I know He was looking out for me." Isn't that? That, thank God for that, But how can I improve my life to be a blessing and experience this blessing in my life? Number one, you can learn to be kind to you so that you can be kind to others. I love every time you get on an airplane and the steward, the flight attendant gets up just about ready to take off, and they're going through all these things that you have to do, seatbelt on. And then they say, if the cabin loses pressure and a face mask drops down, make sure you put it on your face before you help anyone else. Why is that? Because you can't help anybody else if you can't breathe yourself. And my brothers and sisters, sometimes we lose that, and we give everything we have, and instead of taking care and being kind to ourselves. And the Bible says that Jesus was asked, he says, which is the greatest commandment? Jesus replied, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and with all your mind. That's the first and the greatest. But the second is just like it, to love your neighbor as you love you, as you put the face mask on you. And you become aware that sometimes maybe the reason that you're just living in an unkind state of mind all the time is because you've never paused long enough to put a face mask on yourself and take a deep breath of what God has for you in your life. The Bible, Paul says in Ephesians 5:29, no one hated his own body but feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church. Well, what can I do for me? I thought of this. The first thing you can do is forgive yourself. 1 John 1:9 says that if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And can I just add to that? Instead of just doing that morning after morning, stop putting yourself into a place that brings harm to your life, to your body, and to other people in your life. Look out for yourself. But if you've really hit the wall, forgive yourself and know that Jesus has forgiven you. We're going to partake in communion today. And part of the symbolism is recognizing the blood of Christ that has cleansed you and I from all of our sin. Second, you got to take care of your physical health. And I love what Pastor Ryan said about, you know, he just went another level. He went to a new doctor and they took a deep dive. And you know, he's texting me late last night, first thing in the morning. I'm like, my goodness, is this kid going to ever sleep again? He said, I'm full of energy. And when you take care of yourself, you'll be kind to others. Listen to what Paul says. 1 Corinthians 3:16, don't you know that yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person. For God's temple is sacred and you together are that temple. Take care of yourself. Do what you have to do. Don't be like the guy that said to me, he said, did you go to the doctor? No, I don't want to go. Why not? Because I don't want to hear what he's going to say. Like that's going to change your outcome. Can I just encourage every man, and I leaned on this a little bit in the first service, because I think sometimes men are, we're a little slow in this, of going to find out, is there something wrong with me? Do I need help in this area of my life? And I don't care whether it's in physical or mental. If you need some help with the way you're thinking and how you're perceiving things, we need to humble ourselves, go to the doctor, and find out what is wrong with us so that we can not only be kind to others, but we can be kind to ourselves. Thank you, Pastor, for sharing that with me. And then, to be kind to yourself, you have to surround yourself with the right people. Do you know that you are like the five closest people you spend the most time with? You're just like them. The Bible says in Proverbs 13:20, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. I used to come home as a teenager and my mom says, I know what you've been doing because I know who you've been with. Man, I hated it when she said that. And she was so right. I know what you've been doing because I know who you've been with. Some people, you're in the same place you were. I remember going, I think it was my 35th or 38th class reunion. And there were some people, they were the same way they were than when we graduated from school. They still thought going out and getting plastered 2-3 times a week was the way to do life. They still acted. I swear, some of them were wearing the same clothes. Can I just encourage somebody today? If you're going to act like an eagle, you can't pluck with the chickens. You got to go higher in your life if you're going to change who you are and allow God to have influence in your life so that you can be kind to yourself and therefore be kind to one another. Well, number two in learning to be kind is just learn to listen and show interest, not just in yourself, but in other people, in conversation. And when somebody's talking to you, have you ever had this happen? I just had it to me yesterday. It was kind of a confirmation of what I put together, that this person is talking and they're wanting all my attention and I'm looking and I'm listening. And then when I started to talk back, their eyes went over here and they were engaging in something else. And they're saying, yeah, yeah, yeah. But they're looking and they're actually, their facial expressions are over here, but they're pretending like I'm important to them. And if you're going to be kind to people, you're going to show interest in them. Husbands and wives, we could all learn something from this right now. That we can learn to be kind to our spouses by taking a moment and listening to what they're wanting to communicate to us. I've had more than one time in my life, where my wife says, "Can you just give me 5 minutes of your attention?" Any other wives like that in here? They're all like... Philippians 2:3, "Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself." And if we take time, if we want to show kindness, we can just pause and be interested in what others are saying to us. We're not looking at our phone. We're not looking at our watch. I had this brother, this friend of mine, that I used to talk with him. And he used to have his arm up like this. And when I'd talk, he'd be looking at his watch. Because at a certain time, he was out of the conversation. Show interest. And then last, you want to be kind, just learn to be thankful. To say thanks. A single thank you can go so far. And unfortunately, many people don't say it. It's like people in our culture... Here we go again. People in our culture, it's my right. I have a right to this. There's no thank you. You and I don't have a right to anything. We have privileges and we are honored and we are blessed. And we need to say thank you. And can I just tell you something? That when you say thankful, when you say thank you for the smallest things, God entrusts us with bigger things. When you can't be thankful for the little thing, God will never give you the blessing of having the big thing. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:18, Paul says, "Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your hearts to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to our God and our Father." Can I just tell you that Spirit-filled, Spirit-led, Spirit-dominated people are thankful? We live with a thankful heart. I'm so thankful I walked in this morning and Bruce and Peggy were out at that table and he handed me a cup of coffee. I was so grateful. Then Peggy brought me 2 cookies and I just love her more than I do him anyways. Just so thankful for that. Some people, you know, we just take things for granted. You get up in the morning and my wife, maybe sometimes once in a while, she gets me a coffee. I say, "Thank you, honey." Can I tell you the secret in your home and in your life and your family is not taking anything for granted, but it's saying thank you. If you live a life of thankfulness, you recognize that everything that we have comes from God, your life will begin to turn. You'll not only be thankful, but thankfulness will create a kind heart and a kind spirit in you. Listen, 1 Thessalonians 5, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances." Not for them. Some are in some tough times, and I'm not going to thank... I did not thank God one time when my mother was suffering with cancer. I didn't thank God one time that my wife went through cancer, but I thanked Him in the middle of it that He was able to do exceeding and abundantly above anything that I could ask or think. I thanked God always. Colossians 2:6, "Therefore, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, established in faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving." 1 Chronicles 16:34, "Give thanks to the Lord. He is good. His steadfast love endures forever." And Psalm 95, verse 1, 2, and 3, "Come, let us sing to the Lord." We did that this morning, didn't we? "Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving, and let us joyfully to Him with psalms. For the Lord is great. He is a great God and the great King above all gods. Come on. Can we just take a moment right now and just say, God, we thank you. Come on. Can we do that? Can we just praise him and thank him? God, you're good. Come on. Let's just take a moment right now. Come on. Put your hands together. God, we thank you. Come on, church. Come on. You say, but Pastor, I don't see it yet. If you thank him, you will see it. Come on. We praise you, Lord. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God. Prepare your heart right now to receive communion together. Just close your eyes and bow your head with me this morning. Spirit of the living God, have your way in our heart and in our lives today. Change us from the inside out. I pray today. We worship and we honor you, Lord. As your eyes bowed, your heads closed, you will never know kindness, nor will you ever give kindness if you've never committed your heart and your life to Jesus, making him the Lord and the master of your life. And you can do that right now. You can do that at home. Just say, Jesus, I need you. I've met some miserable people in my life, and they never surrendered their heart to Christ. And they left this world. They left a mark of being miserable, not only in their own lives, but the lives that are around them. And God wants to change that. He wants to make you and I brand new. And just say to him today, just say, Jesus, come into my heart. Come on, everybody in this, just say it with maybe one or two or five. Just say, Jesus, come into my heart. Take over my life and be my Lord and be my Savior. Praise God. If you did not receive a communion cup when you came in, raise your hand real high right now. Some right down front here, boys. Raise your hand. We won't know. There's one over on that side as well. Raise your hand real high if you did not receive a communion cup today. For those of you that did, let's prepare with the bread. So beautiful in his house today. Beautiful presence of God here today. Teach us to be kind, God. We don't want to have to walk through adversity to understand this. Rearrange our lives so that we can embrace and be everything that you've created us to be. We give you praise, Lord. Jesus took bread in the night in which he was betrayed. He blessed it, he broke it, and he gave thanks. This is my body given for you. When you eat it, remember what I have done. As we partake together, remember how good God has been to you. Let's eat. Thank you, Lord. He took the cup in the same way. This is my blood. Oh, he says, which will be poured out for many. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, we thank you today as we partake in this cup that we drink your covenant into our lives. He said, as often as you drink it, remember me. Let's drink together. Praise your name, Jesus. Lord, I just say thank you today. Putting in us spirit of kindness, Lord. Point out areas in our lives that you want to rearrange. and help us to embrace it with all of our heart, our soul, and our mind. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Would you stand with us? I can sing a billion songs and dance till my feet are numb, spin till I'm empty and poor. I can't praise you enough. Shout till my voice gives way, leap till I have no strength, lose my breath trying to explain. I can't praise you enough. And if time were to stall, I could never tell it all. Words are few, this'll have to do. You helped me this morning. I just want to thank you. I just want to thank you. I just want to thank you. I'm so grateful. Come on, lift your hand and tell them. I just want to thank you. I just want to thank you. I just want to thank you. I'm so grateful. One more time. I just want to thank you. I just want to thank you. I just want to thank you. Shout it out. I'm so grateful. You sing it. I just want to. Come on, lift your voice to the Lord. I just want to thank you. I'm so grateful. Father, we ask you, out of that heart of gratitude that you said in your word, that when we were yet sinners, you died for us. Out of that kindness, God, would you allow us? Would you give us the strength? Would you give us the ability to share that kindness with others? That grace, that mercy, that forgiveness. We pray it to be so on this house. We pray it to be so on this, your people. Let the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, is our prayer this morning. In Jesus' name, would you say amen? Hey, we're so glad you were here this morning. Those of you that are at home, you're awesome. We're thankful for you this morning. We're going to have another service at 12 noon, the last of the day. It's always just a little bit different. Join us if you'd like to. And then Thursday night will be a night you won't want to miss. God bless you. Have a great day.
I just want you to lift up your hands.
There's stories that have proved your faithfulness, and I've seen miracles my mind can't comprehend. And there is beauty in what I can understand.